Thank you, Ruth. That song has always been a blessing to me. I thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, reaches deeper than the stain is gone. Always have and always will. As she sang in that last verse, there is a multitude before the throne of God and of the Lamb that are evidence, proof of that glorious, glorious fact. His blood reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Thank you. Thank you for asking me back. I was thinking it was January. I was supposed to be here and the weather prevented that, and I was glad to have another invitation. It's always a delight, like Brother Rick said. I'm home. I want to take the opportunity to thank Shelby. Several months ago, last year, she asked if I would help proofread Don's commentary on Philippians, Discovering Christ in Philippians. And she sent me the manuscript, and I was delighted to have that opportunity. It's a blessed book. One of the themes of that epistle, as you know, is joy. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul says. And again, I say rejoice. And Don's commentary on that book is full of joy. Full of joy. His very last chapter, he concludes with these words. I can almost hear him. He said, if you are one of God's own dear children, whose heart the Lord has renewed, take this promise of God, live upon it, rejoice and give thanks. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. And he most certainly will. Thank you, Shelley. It's been a delight. I have the hardback copy now, and I would encourage you to get it if you don't. Would you turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Second Corinthians 5. This will be our subject. Just a few words from verse 8 in chapter 5. Present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. It seems each time I'm here that I'm invited back to be with you. Every 4 or 5 months or so, I look out and there's another empty place where a dear brother or sister once sat. Brother Claus, I think, was the last one. Dave Coleman, my dear, dear friend, Dave Coleman, my golfing buddy. I remember when Amy called me, when God called Dave home a few years ago. She said, Larry, my daddy is now singing in heaven, singing in glory. And then, less than a year after Dave went to be in the presence of the Lord, Brother Don, your pastor, your faithful, faithful pastor, was called home. And then after that, Brother Lindsay Campbell. My, sometimes I sit and think, try to imagine what they're doing now. Rex, you mentioned Joe Crabtree, Bruce's dear wife, going to glory not long ago. One of Bruce's members, Gail Poor, we were talking with her on the phone, and she said, I can just about hear Don's big voice as Joe entered glory, saying, Joe Crabtree, when did you get here? Present with the Lord. In verse 1 here in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says concerning this, being with Christ in glory upon the death of a believer, he says, we know. We know that this is so. Then in verse 6, he says, this blessed knowledge, this knowing that the promises of God in Christ are both yea and amen. These are certainties. This is not a matter of speculation. This is not guesswork. This is the promise of God to every one of his sheep. Christ prayed in his high priestly prayer, Father, I will. This is the will of the omnipotent God. I will that all those whom you have given me be with me where I am. James, present with the Lord. What a description of heaven. What a glorious thing that must be to be in the very presence of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, knowing this, knowing that this is so, Paul says, this gives us confidence. This gives us confidence. And then in verse 8, he says again, we are confident. I find that very refreshing, don't you? Paul speaks with such certainty, such assurance about this matter. It's just a delight to read it again and again. And in light of this fact, in light of another certainty, in light of the fact that our life here is so very brief, I'll be 71 years old. Now, I know you look up there and you think, that can't be so. Will it be so? In a couple of months, I'll be 71 years old. And I think one of the most astounding things about that is how fast it went by. I look back and my eyes, like the scripture says, it's a vapor. It's a puff of smoke. And then it's gone. In light of the fact that our life here is so brief, and that we have an eternity before us, and a judgment by an absolute holy God, not the God of my imagination, but the just and holy God that demands and will accept nothing less than perfection. That's the God of judgment that we'll stand before. Should we not do what Peter exhorted believers to do? Rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make it sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. In doing that, we will be enabled by the grace of God, the same grace that was bestowed upon the Apostle Paul, we can join him and say with the same sweet confidence, I know whom I have believed. Wow. Now you may lay down tonight and the tears wet your pillow with burdens and trials and heartache. Oh, but it doesn't change this glorious fact. I know whom I have believed. And knowing him, knowing who he is, Jesus Christ, my great God and Savior, he deserves all my trust. As someone as well said, I don't always trust him as I should, but that doesn't make him any less trustworthy. And Paul said, knowing whom I believe, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that he's able. He's able. I'm not able. But Paul says, Jesus Christ is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You remember in the book of Joshua, like Moses before him, Joshua too, the time had come for him to leave this world. And he called the elders of Israel around and he said, I want you to bear witness to this. I'm going to remind you of something. And you know that this is so. You know that of all the promises that God gave us, concerning bringing us into this land, giving us this place, providing our needs, every promise that the Lord made to us, there has not been one word of one promise that's failed. It's all came to pass. And our Joshua says to every one of his sheep, every promise he's made to us shall come to pass. We shall be one day, by his grace, in the very presence with our dear departed loved ones that have gone before us in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist very wisely in light of this said, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. How frail I am. How soon I may leave this world. Behold, you made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Pause. Think about that. Don't let that rush by. Think about that. When this vapor is over, I'm going to be ushered into the presence of God Almighty and face in eternity. David went on to say, Lord, what wait I for? And he concluded on this happy note, my hope is in thee, just as Paul wrote. Brother Henry Mahan wrote these words concerning that verse from Psalm 39 and 4, Lord, make me to know mine end. Henry said, when we by God's grace are wise enough to face death, judgment, and eternity, things are seen in their proper light. All these fine ideas of fame and fortune and friends and our so-called importance melts like frost in the sun. Death reveals the truth, blows away the chaff, shuts a man's mouth, and opens the books. Death takes no notice of what I thought, nor what others thought of me, but only what God thinks. That I may win Christ and be found in Him. What else matters? What else matters? Look again, if you will, at verse 6 here. Paul says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Absent from the Lord. As long as we live in this flesh, this body, as long as we are in this world, we're not with Jesus Christ. In verse 1, Paul says, living in this body is like living in a tabernacle. A tent is what he's speaking of there. And remember, Paul was a tent maker by trade. A tent is designed to be only a temporary dwelling. Who would want to live permanently in a tent? That's what this body is. That's what this life is. It's like a tent that will soon wear out, and the stakes will be taken up, the ropes taken down, and it'll be dissolved, Paul says in verse 1, dissolved. Remember what we read in John chapter 1 concerning the Lord Jesus? John said, and the Word, the eternal Word, the everlasting Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word dwelt means tabernacled. It could very well have been written. And the original would be written. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Jesus Christ was made like unto His brethren when He came into this world to tabernacle among us for a little while. He said to His Father who sent Him, sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me. As long as we're yet living in this body, this earthly house, this tent, we can't be where Christ is. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't be in two places at once. Yes, the Lord is always with His people, thank God, spiritually. He's always with His people while we journey through this wilderness. He promises in His Word again and again, over and over. Remember when He appeared for the last time on Mount Olivet to His disciples, with His disciples? And He said, go into all the world. Here's your marching orders, fellas. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And He gave them this blessed promise. Take this with you. Don't forget this. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation, not just your talk, your walk, the way you live, the way you conduct your lives, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I don't know the oldest here. I don't know who's to serve the Lord longer. But I know this. From the youngest believer to the oldest believer, there has never been a time that Jesus Christ wasn't with you. That promise is always good. Every hour of every day, Christ said, I will never, never leave you. Never, ever forsake. No matter what. The soul that to Jesus has leaned for repose, he will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no never, no never forsake. Thank God for that. Our Savior is always with his people by his Spirit and by his grace. But what Paul is speaking of here is that we're not, while we're in this flesh, with Jesus Christ in a literal sense. We are, while in this tent, this earthly house, not with our Lord. While we live in this tent, this house made with hands. We are not yet with Christ in that sense, in his very literal presence. This is one of those eternal things. Paul says we are to look for by faith and long for that time. Long for that time when we shall see him as he is. Wow, Bill, what about that? What about that? Verse 18 of chapter 4 that Rex read. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're perishing. They're decaying. They're not permanent. But the things which are not seen, oh, those are the real things. Those are the lasting things. They are eternal. And what we will see, the chief among those will be this. We shall see him. We shall see him. My imagination won't reach that far, Rex. I try. I think about it. When a dear brother or sister is called to glory, I think about that moment they close their eyes here, they open them, and they're beholding the face of Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my soul. What will that be? That brings us to verse 8. Paul says, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul speaks there of two great blessings, doesn't he? Absent from the body is the first one, and then present with the Lord. You know, sometimes you receive a piece of mail and it's addressed to someone that doesn't live at that address. Return to sender. They don't live here. When a child of God leaves this world, goes back to be with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul speaks of here. Paul's words mean that when we no longer live in this worn out tent, once it's taken down, everything about it will be taken down. Everything about it will be gone. The sickness, the physical pain, the mental, the emotional. Thank God all those things will be done away with forever. Why? For the reason, because of those things will no longer exist for a child of God. That is sin. When God removes us from sin, he removes sin from us. Oh, thank God for that. That which Paul wrote in Romans 7, that downward spiral, that principle, that law that was always with him. You know it well. Every child of God does. They can identify with what Paul's saying. Oh, wretched man that I used to be. That's not what Paul said. No, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. At the very moment I pen these words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't change this. I'm a wretched man. The things that I want to do. The things I want to do. To glorify God. To exalt his Son. I find something in me that wars against that. That continually drags me down. And Paul cries out, oh wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? And that is the genuine experience every minute of every day of every true child of God. Is it not so? Now, I'm very well aware that there are multitudes of professing Christians that don't have a clue what Paul's talking about there in Romans 7. That's not their experience. One faithful pastor wrote this. He said, "I'm sincerely afraid that great multitudes of professing Christians are no more than that, professing Christians. I'm fearful that they have done no more than accepted someone's proposition and merely agreed with a simple plan of salvation that at best can only produce a false hope." That's exactly right. "In such cases, the heart hasn't been smitten with conviction, and neither has there been a development of godly sorrow, creating remorse and confession of the hideousness of sin before the holy God. The modern concept of soul winning has produced an easy belief type of religion that has populated churches with a mass number of poor, misguided souls that are twofold more the child of hell than they were before." Brother Terry Worthen wrote that. He went to glory Friday before last. "As long as we're in this flesh, it will never change. This battle will go on." Oh, why? That's why this blessed truth that one day we'll be absent from this body, absent from this flesh, absent from that struggle. Many years ago, before I even moved here, when I was still living back in West Virginia, one Saturday morning, someone knocked on my door and introduced himself as a Wesleyan pastor. I thought to myself, what do you want? Some of my relatives sent him to straighten me out. I was a believer, but they thought I was just a half believer, a half brother. So they sent this Wesleyan preacher to straighten me out. And he sat down and he said, I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I'm here to tell you what you need." I said, "Yar, what's that?" He said, "You need what I have." "Rex," I said, "what do you got?" He said, "My old nature has been entirely eradicated." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "The old nature is gone. I'm entirely sanctified. I've had this second work of grace by which I'm entirely sanctified. The old nature is gone. If I had to do over, I would have walked across the room, bowed to him and said, 'How do you do? Because you're the first one I've ever met. You're one of a kind. I've never met anybody. I've never met any son of Adam, from Adam to the present day, whose nature, sinful nature, was eradicated, and his wasn't either.'" You know what he meant by that? You know what he meant by that? His idea of sanctification, his idea of holiness was this: touch not, taste not, wear not, smile not, enjoy not. Always look like you're sucking on a lemon. The more sour and miserable you look, the more holy you are. That's not sanctification. That's not sanctification. Paul answered that question in Romans 7 when he cried out, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He answered that in the very next verse: "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In 1 Corinthians 1:30 he wrote, "But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, 'He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.'" Look at the last verse here in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Paul said, "For he," that is God, "have made him," Jesus Christ, "sin for us, with this certain glorious result, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The very righteousness of God in him. The other thing that Paul speaks of here, not only being absent from the body, he says, but present with the Lord. Oh, now I'm in deep water. If I've struggled up to this point, what am I going to do now? Present with the Lord. Paul says he would rather be absent here below and to be present above with his Lord and Savior. That's what he said in Philippians 1. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far, far better is what he wrote. Because Paul knew that the very moment his life here was over, he would be in the presence of his blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord told the dying thief, didn't he, on the cross? That dying man looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord had opened his heart. Oh, what an evidence of God's sovereign grace. And he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. I'm ready to leave this world. I'm leaving this world. I'm dying. Very soon, I'm going to go out into eternity. Lord, would you remember me? And what the thief, what was true concerning the thief is true of you and I. We're dying. We're dying men and women. Very soon we're going to leave this world. We're going to go out into eternity and face a holy God. Oh, my soul. No wonder the thief said, oh, remember me. Oh, don't forget me. Please remember me. And the Lord answered, today you'll be with me in purgatory. No, no, no. No, he didn't say that, did he? That whole lie was invented by the Catholic Church for the sole purpose of making money off of poor, grieving, deceived souls who had lost a loved one. And they invented that so if they would pay the priest, they would pray him out of their so-called purgatory. I read one little ditty that said this, as soon as a coin in the coffer rings, another soul from purgatory springs. Not so. No, the Lord Jesus Christ told that dying thief this, verily, truthfully, truthfully, count on it, live on it, die on it. Verily I say unto you, today, you're going to be with me in paradise today. You're going to enter heaven with me. I'm going back to the Father's house, and I'm taking you with me. And you're going to walk arm in arm with me as a trophy of my mighty grace and my redeeming work. Today you're going to be with me. Oh, imagine that. With me in paradise. Your soul won't sleep in the grave like with your body, like the so-called Jehovah Witnesses say. It won't float around in purgatory for so much time. No, the day you're going to be with me, the very moment a child of God closes his eyes to this world and he opens them in that other world, he'll awake in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride must be with her bridegroom. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He'll bring them with him because they're with him now. They're with him now. It's the body that will be raised. It's the body that's in the grave. Oh, but the spirit of the child of God is with the Lord Jesus Christ now. He says, and then that we which are alive and remain shall be changed and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Present with the Lord. What can that compare to? How do you illustrate that? Present with the Lord. Whatever else heaven may reveal to us, this will be the most glorious revelation of all. When we shall see Him, when we shall look Mark in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as truly, just as real, just as literal as I'm looking at you now. Job said, I shall see Him as He is, with these eyes, not another, for myself. I shall see Him, the King in His beauty. I remember years ago, I was in the hospital to have surgery. Now, I'd never been in the hospital before. I think I was 12 years old or so. I wasn't even born in the hospital, but was born at home. But my mother was there by my bed before they took me down for surgery. She said, Larry, don't be afraid. I was scared. She said, Larry, don't be afraid. It'll be over before you know it. And when you wake up, I'm going to be right here. Jesus Christ says to every one of his own, every believing sinner, every chosen, redeemed sinner, when you close your eyes, don't you be afraid. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we're doing now, don't be afraid. When you close your eyes and you wake up, I'll be right here. That's why Paul says he would rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord in glory with Christ Himself. Every time I've visited a very ill brother or sister in Christ, where I pastor and other places, those who have suffered for a good while, they've always said to me, "Larry, I want this to be over. I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to go home. I'm tired of the struggle." And usually it's not too long after that, the Lord comes to them and says, "Well, now, you've dwelt here long enough. You've suffered long enough. It's time to come home. It's time to come with me to the Father's house." Here's the last thing. Look at verse 9 here in 2 Corinthians 5. Paul tells believers that having this blessed hope, this promise from our great God and Savior, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That's why the Lord spoke like this. Labor not for that meat that will perish, but for that meat, that bread, that shall endure to everlasting life. Strive, the Lord said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. No man that doesn't deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he said, no man can be my disciple who doesn't. Oh, to be accepted of him, Paul said, while we live and when we die, to be found in him. Oh, to know him. As I said at the beginning, what else matters? What else will matter? To hear Christ say, "Enter into the joy prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Welcome home. Welcome home. In the last chapter of Don's book, Going Home, after beginning with this verse from Isaiah 35, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Don wrote, "What is it that makes heaven such an excellent place? It is the soul-satisfying vision of God that we have there in the person of His dear Son, our Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all His glory. There we shall see God face to face. It is written, they shall see His face. What could be more excellent and glorious? What could be more rewarding and honoring? What could be more joyous and satisfying? Here we see Christ dimly as through a glass darkly. There we shall see Him face to face. What will the bride's thoughts be when Christ first takes her in His arms? Who can imagine such things? This is my beloved. He has brought me into His banqueting house. His banner over me is love." You've heard the story, I'm sure, about dear Fanny Crosby, who wrote so many of our good hymns. You have many in your hymn book. As you know, she was blind. A preacher visited her one day, and he said, "I think it's sad. I think it's sort of a shame that God blessed you with so many gifts, so many talents, that He didn't grant you sight." And she said, "Let me tell you something. If I had one prayer to pray when I was born, it would be this, that God would have made me blind." And that preacher scratched his head and said, "Dude, what? Why would you say such a thing?" She said, "Because when I get to heaven, the first thing that I'm going to see is the face of Jesus Christ." She wrote, "Someday my earthly house shall fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see." Oh, child of God, recite the words with me. in your heart. And I shall see face to face and tell the story saved by I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Let me close with these words from Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And by faith, thus when the Christian pilgrim views by faith his mansion in the skies, the sight his fainting strength renews, and wings his speed to reach the prize. The thought of home his spirit cheers, no more he grieves for troubles past, nor any future trial he fears, so he may safe arrive at last. 'Tis there, he says, I am to dwell with Jesus in the realms of day. Then I shall bid my cares farewell, and my Lord shall wipe all my tears away. What a day that will be. God bless you. God bless you. Been a delight to be with you this morning. Lord bless you.